Joining us now is TSN's hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. How are you, Bob?
Excellent. How are you guys doing today?
We are good. If I was putting money on where the hub cities will be, my brain would be blown by now because it seems like it's changing every single day. Luckily, I'm not that kind of gambler, but is the expectation still that we will find out the two cities by the end of tomorrow?
Not necessarily. And in fact, I wouldn't, if I was laying money down on when the announcement will come, never mind which cities it's going to, I wouldn't lay strong money on an announcement being made tomorrow. For the very simple reason is they still appear to be working on this. We'll go over the three Canadian cities in a moment. But they're still working on it. And tomorrow is the NHL draft lottery. And I don't believe that they want to announce hub cities and draft lottery on the same day. It makes no sense. And I don't know, quite frankly, whether they'll have the hub cities nailed down by tomorrow. Maybe they will. And if they do, that'll leak out. But it's, as you said, a very fluid situation because most of this week we've been under the impression it's going to be Vegas and Vancouver. Although we were cautioned multiple times, especially by Tuesday night, not to handicap anybody too forcefully because it was such a fluid situation. And it turned out that the medical authorities in British Columbia weren't prepared to play ball to the extent that the National Hockey League needed them to. And you know, Dr. Bonnie Henry in Vancouver said that, you know, if there was a positive test, and somebody in Vancouver is tweeting it out as we speak right now, they're simply saying there now that player would have to be removed from the bubble and different things would have to happen, and the NHL didn't want to do it that way. So Vancouver basically said, well, then under those circumstances, we're not hosting. That was a big boost to Edmonton and Toronto, and the league is believed to be currently negotiating with both of those cities to try and put something to bed. Depending on who you talk to at any given minute, you know, Toronto's the front runner. Depending on who you talk to any other given minute, Edmonton's the front runner. I would still say at this point that Vegas is the heavy favorite to be the first of the two hub cities. Then it's a matter of sorting out, is it going to be Edmonton or is it going to be Toronto? And if for any reason both of those weren't going to work, then we would probably be looking at Chicago and L.A. But the medical authorities in Alberta, the provincial medical authorities in Alberta, and the provincial medical authorities in Ontario, and our guys, Ryan Rashog in Alberta, and Pierre Lebrun here in Toronto, has reported that those provincial authorities are willing to work with whatever parameters the National Hockey League has laid out for them. So whether we get an announcement in the next 24 hours, I think that would be a reach, but possible, I suppose. And as for whether Toronto's going to get it, still your guess as good as mine.
Bob, I would, first of all, I applaud the NHL for being as patient and waiting as long as they have. And I think that's been a real positive because of the changing factors around they had no control of. But if you're one of the cities that hasn't been named yet and you're speculating Vegas have, why not go to Vegas and say, what exactly have you done that's so special? Mm-hmm. And how do we do that?
Well, I can tell you this, that the sense I get and the reason, even though the numbers in Vegas, I think yesterday they had 400 and some odd cases, and I don't know if that was in Nevada or Vegas, but the point being is the numbers are back on the rise, not nearly at the same level as Florida, Texas, Arizona. Those places are almost out of control, it seems, in terms of the number of new cases. And hospitalizations in Arizona are shooting sky high from what I understand. So Vegas has had a bump up since they've reopened the strip and everything else that goes with it. But I think the NHL has more confidence in the tightness of the bubble in Vegas than anywhere else. That whatever system they've proposed in terms of creating a resort designed entirely to house NHL people, and to have all the amenities that the players are looking for and that the league wants, and easy access and lack of contact with the public to get to the arena and to play the games, Vegas is number one on every, it seems to be number one on the NHLPA list for air tightness, which I think is probably right now, given a virus that's passed through the air, you want to, if you're going to have a bubble, you want it to try and be as airtight as possible, and I think that's the attraction of Vegas.
TSN's hockey insider Bob McKenzie joining us on Overdrive, and a long list of things have to happen for the restart of this season and for these playoffs to happen. And another thing that needs to happen that maybe we're not talking about enough is players have to buy in, and we'll have that vote. And then you have comments from Artemi Panarin today, and it reminds you kind of what happened in baseball with the labor negotiations and dealing with the money. And his big issue is, you know, this is the time to fix escrow, and that as players, we cannot report to camp to resume play without having an agreement in place. Do you see this as a threat at all between getting everyone together and starting these playoffs?
Potentially, absolutely. It can't be dismissed. And I would say two things about that. I would approach it on two levels. Just in general, the closer we get to the players actually having to make that decision, which is when they're going to be given a lot more information to process, the closer we get to that moment of truth where they vote on the phase three protocols, the phase four protocols, the collective bargaining agreement, the economic stuff in terms of escrow and everything else, and how the burden of loss, economic loss, is going to be shared, to what extent the players are absorbing it, to what extent are the owners absorbing it, and all of that. The closer we get to that moment, the more uneasy players are going to be until they have all the information. Now, they might get all the information and say, okay, no big deal. So it looks good. Let's do it. But they might also get the information and go, whoa, time out. We're not doing this. And quite frankly, on that big level of the closer we get to the end of the month and a decision having to be made, some guys are upset about the escrow and the economic stuff. Some guys are worried about phase three terms and conditions. Some guys are worried about phase four, how long are we going to be separated from our family. So there's an a la carte menu of things that players are concerned about. So it's not an absolute 100% slam dunk that, you know, return to play is going to happen. But it's too soon, even as we get more voices voicing concern over the economics, or even if they come out against phase three and phase four, it's still too soon to try to measure that tangibly and say, well, this whole thing's in trouble. It's going to go off the rails. Mm-hmm. I guess it could, but we don't know. The second point I was going to make about these economic comments that are coming out. So Artemi Panarin, he's represented by Paul Theofanis, an agent out of New York City. Ryan Kesler, who made some remarks today about owners and the 50-50 split and the unfairness of the way that the players have to accept a greater level of burden in terms of the losses, is represented by Kurt Overhart out of Denver. Now, I don't know that Paul Theofanis is necessarily what I would call anti-Don Fear or anti-Players Association, but I can tell you there has been a movement afoot for quite some time, certainly more than a year, where a number of agents, including Kurt Overhart, Anton Thun, based out of Toronto, and Rich Winter, based out of Edmonton, have challenged Don Fear and the PA and have gone and taken the PA and Don Fear to task on the economics, on the cap, on a whole bunch of things. And I'm not suggesting for a moment that Ryan Kesler doesn't believe what he's saying, because he obviously does. But it may also be part of a broader situation where a number of the clients of those agents, even outside of coming back, they may look at this negotiation for a new CBA and everything else as an opportunity to try to fix a collective bargaining agreement that these agents, in the case of Kurt Overhart, Rich Winter, and Anton Thun, are vehemently opposed to. And so that's where it gets even more complicated. And now it takes it to sort of another level of unrest that was simmering long before the pandemic struck. So it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks on all those levels.
How fascinated are you in tomorrow's draft lottery and everything that's going to go on, kind of between now and whenever the draft is, and the movement of picks, maybe considering just the whole landscape of the league has changed so much?
Well, I'm exhausted just trying to explain how it works.
You did a good job on Twitter today, Hal.
And yeah. I'm not even sure by the time I'm finished if I actually know what I'm talking about or not. To be honest with you, it's exhausting, but it's the nature of the beast. So you've got a draft lottery. Normally there's 15 teams in the draft lottery. There's only 14 in this year because the San Jose Sharks traded away their first-round pick. So Ottawa's got two shots, and there's 13 other teams besides Ottawa that are in the mix. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing is, normally we know all 15 teams, or in this case, we would know all 14 teams, but we only know six of the teams. And those six are the Detroit Red Wings, the Ottawa Senators twice, but counting as one team. Mm-hmm. The LA Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, the New Jersey Devils, and the Buffalo Sabres. So those are the bottom six teams in the league, bottom seven slots. And what we know for 100% fact is when they do the draft lottery tomorrow night, those six teams and those seven picks, we will know where they are in the draft. Mm-hmm. Ottawa can't be lower than 5 and 6. You can't drop more than three spots. And right now, Ottawa's sitting in the number two spot, the number three spot. How many of the eight teams that we don't know, and those eight teams, of course, are the losers from the qualifying round play-in, call it what you want, but the best of five series that probably won't start until late July, early August, those eight losing teams then go into a second draft lottery that works in a number of different ways, depending on how many of those eight teams might jump up tomorrow night and snag either the number one pick, the number two pick, or the number three pick. Now, the odds are heavily stacked in favor of the number one pick going to one of those six teams that we mentioned. 75.5% chance that Detroit, Ottawa, LA, Anaheim, Jersey, or Buffalo is going to get the number one overall pick. But there's a 24.5% chance that some unnamed number, one of those unnamed teams in the group of eight that loses in the first round of the play-in, they're going to get the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you've got, one team one faceless, nameless team that jumps up into the top three? What happens if you get two? What happens if you get three? It all will impact how we normally watch a draft lottery. So, If none of those eight teams jump up into the top three, then Bill Daly is going to start flipping cards and counting down from number seven for those six teams that are we know of. If it's one team from the eight that gets into the top three, you're going to have a faceless team up there. But we're going to start counting down from eight and flipping cards. And if it's two teams, we're going to start counting down from nine and flipping cards. And if all three teams were to somehow, and this would be like the odds of our consortium at TSN winning the 649 or the Lotto Max on any given Friday or Saturday night, which is to say not very good. But of all three teams that were to take the first and second and third team were from this group of eight teams that we don't know yet, the losers of the play-in, well, then they'd be flipping cards and counting down from number 10. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different permutations going on here, but the lottery is going to take place at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to happen at the NHL studios in New Jersey, and Gary Bettman will be there taking care of the ping pong balls coming out of the machine with an Ernst & Young auditor looking over his shoulder. Make sure there's no hanky-panky. Everybody will say there's hanky-panky, but there won't be. And there will be a video, a full video of the balls coming out of the machine that will be released after 8:30 p.m. Eastern time when the half-hour show is over, and Bill Daly is going to do his wonderful job of flipping cards and counting down.
And there won't be any awkwardness of GMs sitting together because of social distancing. So
they're not there, but they will. There could be some Zoom or satellite awkwardness because all the GMs of the six teams that are involved, that we know are involved, will be there by satellite or remotely, as will likely number one overall pick Alexis Lafreniere, who will be checking in from his home in Quebec via satellite.
Bob, how many times have you gone through that? Because you're really good at it. I think you're qualified to do my taxes now.
don't even go there.
All I could think about was, as you're saying it, is Bob thought he was going to ride into the sunset to a semi-retirement, and this was going to be a nice simple spring, and then the pandemic happened.
Nothing easy about this last this last hurrah. Nothing easy, but hey, wouldn't expect any different.
No. Awesome stuff, Bob. Thanks for keeping us informed on hub cities, on draft lotteries, and
Even get to the Hall of Fame. We'll save that for another day.
We'll save that for another day.
Yeah, I can't talk about it anyways because I'm on the Hall of Fame selection committee, but nevertheless, and we never really had any time to talk about O-Dog and Duffy and Jerry D. I listened to the Jerry D. interview earlier. This is going to be fascinating.
It's going to be great.
Mark, it is going to be awesome.
He is.
And all I'm going to say is golf is as good as you can be at golf. It strikes me that it's a really mental game. And so I think the most mentally tough duo will take home the big prize on Tuesday.
There you go.
Well, Bob, I'm just thinking of some of the discussions we've had on the panel with two of the four personalities that are here and two of the four that are in that golf match.
Exactly. No comment.
Well, our well hockey done. And golf insider, Bob McKenzie, joining us here on Overdrive. We appreciate it, Bob. Have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
There you have it. Breaking everything down, including the face-off.
He wanted to go to the golf. I love it.
I know.
I want to get words in about the golf.
I should have ditched the draft lottery question for the golf. I'm an idiot. You're right. So
No. You got to hear from the draft lottery. That was... I mean, well explained for a very, very complicated procedure.
I know, because I still think, even though the rules and everything has been out there for a bit, I think it's going to strike a lot of people tomorrow and remind them, oh yeah, like half the teams that are in this thing aren't in this thing yet.
Well, and then you're going to start speculating on, you know, if the H team gets the first spot. And what is that H team potentially going to be? Mm. You know, someone that's playing in early August, you know, is going to be having the number one pick in the NHL draft. Think about that.
Yeah, I think we had Duthie on earlier this week, and he said more chaos, the better.
Just fascinating.
Right? You could have that. And this is the year that it would probably happen. And that probably...
Why not?
It does piss off every Ottawa Senators fan hearing that, because it's like, this is our year. We earned this. We traded away Erik Karlsson for this. They have a 25%
chance.
They didn't
get what they were hopeful to in the Hall of Fame yesterday with Daniel Alfredsson.
They got Hossa
or Brian Murray. Yeah, they got Marian Hossa. Yeah, he traded very early in his career.